emergency coverage here on Sportsnet 650. It's breaking. It's not official just yet, but Bruce Boudreau is coming in as coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Travis Green is out, and we are awaiting word to see if there is more to come down as well. It seems as though that very well may be the case here on this Sunday evening. It's Dan Riccio. Going to be joined by Satyar Shah in moments. Vic Nizar is here as well for this emergency coverage on a Sunday. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. That's how you get in touch. We'll be taking calls a little bit later on. Elliot Friedman is going to check in as well as the Canucks finally make the move. We'd all been waiting for something to happen. We all knew it was going to happen at some point. And last night's loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins was officially the breaking point for ownership in this decision. It took another listless performance. Truthfully, the first one at home that was a really dire performance, even though there has been a lot of losses on home ice for the Vancouver Canucks. We know what happened. The chants in the arena, the jersey flying onto the ice, the chants on the concourse. It's just been apparent for way too long that something needed to change. And that change is here. Ahead of an LA Kings matchup tomorrow, the Canucks have made a coaching change and what looks to be more within the organization as well. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. That's where you get in touch with it, with the show. The smart alternative is at Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Bruce Boudreau, Gabby, as he's known, is the new coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Gabby was a guest on the station a couple of weeks ago. He was with the People's Show. I tweeted out a clip from that interview, and while he was respectful to Travis still being in the position, he didn't hold any punches back in saying he would absolutely love the opportunity to coach the Vancouver Canucks. He would absolutely love the opportunity to coach in Canada, something he hasn't done in his career as a head coach. And now he's going to get that opportunity. You look at Bruce Boudreau's record. And again, we all know where the Canucks are in the standings and the monumental task it will take to get them to a respectable record. Let's not even utter the words, because anytime I think of it, I think Jim Mora only. But you think about Bruce Boudreau and what he brings. He's always had teams that score goals. He's always had successful regular season teams. We know there was a lot of first-round exits for Bruce Boudreau through his career. But look at the results. The worst season he ever had, full season at least, was .500 with the Minnesota Wild. I mean, .500 ain't terrible. 37-36-9. Even the year he was fired in Minnesota, they were 27-23. So, not exactly terrible. The other times he's been let go, Anaheim, it was because of poor playoff performance, too many first-round losses, not getting that team over the top. Washington, it was a slow start after many failures through early seasons or early playoff exits compared to what that team hoped for. And his record in the regular season with all of those teams, incredible. Sterling, Like, he had 45 wins at least in basically every season. So the Canucks are getting somebody that's proven, experienced, and proven in what he's shown and been able to do. And I think that was desperately needed if they were going to make a change at head coach. I don't think Travis is the biggest reason for why the Canucks find the spot that they're in right now, or why they're in the spot that they are in. But it was clear Travis wasn't getting enough out of this roster. They weren't fixing the penalty kill. The top players weren't getting enough. Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson have been ghosts for most of the season. At some point, your head coach is going to fall on that sword. And tonight's the night that it's happened. As much as Travis did a lot of good things with the Canucks for many years, it was just not working over the last two. And a team like Pittsburgh, who, yeah, of course, you know, Gensel's a great player, Crosby, they're still a good team. But they're not, you know, the top end of the NHL. And the Canucks weren't even close. I know the 5-on-3s really did them in last night, but they were so far off the pace of that team. What, they went like 10 minutes without a shot last night in the second period? Bonkers. And that's happened far too often this season. All right, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Bick Nizar. Canucks Central. What are we calling this? Just emergency breaking coverage?
We're calling this emergency 650. We'll connect with Sat in just a second here.
Okay.
But he had to run and take a call, so.
All right. It's par for the course. I'm expecting there to be a lot of that as there is still news breaking as we go through this. Bick, your take on the move.
You kind of mentioned it. Bruce Boudreau's record throughout his coaching history is, if you want to make the playoffs, have Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
If you want to win in the playoffs, different conversation. We know intensity ramps up. Differences happen in these last, you know, the second season. But if you want to make the playoffs, Bruce Boudreau's career record is sparkling.
He's your guy.
And you kind of go through some of those Washington teams. Their downfall ultimately was always defense.
Yep.
And you go through the skill level on those defenses. It wasn't exactly Norris caliber guys racing through there.
No.
And you look at this squad right now. It's not exactly Norris caliber guys through this decor.
It's Quinn Hughes, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and a bunch of guys.
And that's by and large, you know, what he's had.
Yeah. I think with this move, we've talked about it with Travis, especially over the last few weeks. Is he coaching this team to its strengths? And of course, like, we can all poke holes and see the flaws in the Canucks roster. We all do. We see it. It's clear as day. But when I think of a team playing to its strengths, I don't see the Canucks do that. Not often enough. Maybe you saw it a little bit more against Montreal and Ottawa, but those teams are in almost worse condition than the Canucks have been this season. When you think about how this team has played, especially at the start of the year, overly cautious, not playing the way that they had success a couple of years ago, getting chances off the rush, scoring goals off the rush, quick in transition. Maybe they don't have the defensemen to be able to play quick in transition. And that's part of it. But felt like too often they were trying to hide their weaknesses more than play to their strengths. And there is a part of me that I just think a lot of the guys on this roster never got over last year and what a disaster it was. And there's a lot more going on last season than just, you know, than bad coaching. But I do feel it's been a hard go for a lot of guys to get over what happened last year. The Dunbar Lumber text line. No takes on Bruce Boudreau on the text line. Just reach, quit smacking your lips in the mic, you monster. Okay. Is it really that bad? Maybe I need another Spro. This one. At this point, a good regular season seems like Mount Everest, so go Brucey. Boudreau couldn't get Ovi to the cup. Is that okay? This team ain't thinking cup right now. A Stanley Cup is a long way to go for this roster.
Especially based on the reports of what the contract may look like.
Yeah.
It matches Travis Green's current contract. Deal. So you're looking at the end of next year. Let's not kid ourselves. This is about reclaiming what is the season and potentially what next season might look like.
You're hoping that you can make some kind of a push this year. Of some kind, right? And I get that from a planning standpoint, because this is the thing. You still have a program that you need to sell to JT Miller, to Bo Horvat, to all these guys. You need to bring in somebody from a coaching perspective that they can buy into, as the word goes. And that, I think, is very important for this roster, no matter who, again, is steering it from above. But they have to be able to sell the Vancouver Canucks on some of their current players, because things have been that bad for so long. 2 years for Bruce Boudreau, as Bick mentioned. That is the report. The end of this year and next year. I think that hints to the question marks at the GM position, right? If you are going to go in a different direction there, which is what we are led to believe, then you need to give that person an opportunity to assess the situation and also then assess whether or not they want Bruce Boudreau here long term. It's kind of a backwards way of doing things, but this is how you do things when you're trying to salvage this season and work on the future at the same time.
Quick update from Irfan Ghaffar, who you hear often on Sportsnet 650 and of the fourth period, Canucks Insider. Believe the changes in Vancouver will include GM Jim Benning and John Weisbrod out as GM and AGM. Chris Gear likely steps into an interim role. Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner are out on the coaching side. Bruce Boudreau and Scott Walker in on the coaching staff. And we'll talk to Elliot Friedman in about 5 minutes as well.
That's breaking news coming in from Irfan Ghaffar. Believe the changes in Vancouver will include Jim Benning and John Weisbrod out as GM and AGM. Chris Gear likely steps into an interim role. That is the news a lot of you were waiting to hear. It goes beyond the coach. Per that report, Travis Green out, Bruce Boudreau in behind the bench. Scott Walker is going to join the coaching staff as well. But a GM out as well. Jim Benning and John Weisbrod out per that latest report. We'll dive into it with Elliot Friedman next on Sportsnet 650. December 5th, you'll remember it as a Canucks fan. Sweeping changes across the Canucks organization happening today in the wake of their loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Travis Green out as head coach per reports, and it's going to be Bruce Boudreau behind the bench for the Vancouver Canucks. looks to be signing a deal that will have him under contract until the end of next season. And the latest news dropping from Irfan Ghaffar that GM Jim Benning and John Weisbrod are out. Again, Irfan Ghaffar reporting. Jim Benning and John Weisbrod out as GM and AGM. Chris Gear likely to step in on an interim basis. Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner out on the coaching side. Bruce Boudreau and Scott Walker in on coaching staff. Let's bring in Satyar Shah. Sat, what's happening?
Not much. Peaceful, quiet, Sunday. I'm just hanging out, man. What are you up to? Why are you calling me on the radio show? What's going on? It's Sunday at 7 p.m. Aren't we supposed to be watching Sunday Night Football? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, the Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. You were like, oh, this is going to be a quiet Sunday. I won't be yelling at my TV, and the Cleveland Browns are on bye. And yeah, here you are.
How about that Seahawks game? No, I'm just kidding. No more stall tactics. Yeah, pretty lively day.
Pretty lively day. So we're hearing now GM Jim Benning and John Weisbrod are out on the GM side, as well as the coaching change here in Vancouver. Last night was the final straw.
Yeah, and, you know, we knew that this was in the works for a while, and we talked about how the wheels are in motion to make changes, and it's about figuring out who comes up. But the thing is, they hadn't figured out who to bring in, especially from a management perspective. So that's why they held off on making any changes. And we said things would have to get really ugly to force their hand. And it's pretty dumb that it had to come to this anyways, right? The fact that we all knew it was inevitable that they're going to have an ugly game at home where the fans finally have enough, and it gets nasty. And that's exactly what happened. And the day after, they're making changes. So this was inevitable. So why not do this sooner instead of finding yourself in this spot? Now, you could say it was the courtship to figure out who the coach was, perhaps with Bruce Boudreau. I think it's interesting when you look at the fact he got a two-year deal this year and next season. It kind of lines up with what their vision was with this core. And what did I tell you guys earlier this week? You have JT Miller, you have Bo Horvath for one more year beyond this season. And the plan was not to rebuild after this year and to punt on this. So if you're trying to give this core another shot, Boudreau comes in for the rest of this season and next year to see if he can do something with this core. So we'll see ultimately what the management team does and who comes in and what the vision ultimately is beyond this season. But when you're hiring Boudreau for this year and next season and it lines up with your vision for the next 2 years, does that not kind of hint at what ownership is getting at here? Yeah, Jim had to go, but they still want to see what they can do with this core. That's very, very obvious when you bring in a Bruce Boudreau.
Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts, the podcast, now joining us. Elliot, your take on the latest Canucks move and the change at GM and AGM as well, as we're hearing.
Well, first of all, Dan, how come you have to come in and Zach gets to sit at home?
I live literally 3 minutes away from the station. It's like not even a thousand steps.
That's a bad answer. The answer is you are more dedicated to your job.
As we know, that is very true. So thank you, Elliot, for pointing it out when I didn't have to.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to make sure you were getting the credit that you so properly deserve. As I do this from my home office, obviously, I really thought that we weren't going to see anything that wasn't interim. One of the reasons that I was a little bit surprised today was when I heard it was Boudreau, I was trying to figure out what the term was, because everything I'd heard leading into this was that if the Canucks made a change, it wasn't going to be anything with term, that they were determined not to make any commitments until they knew everybody who was out there and did the work on people that they felt they needed to do. So the biggest surprise to me hearing Boudreau was, what's the term? Well, I heard it wasn't a long, long, long-term deal, and we now know it's 2 years, so that makes sense. I saw Irf reported the GM change. I don't have that confirmed yet. I tend to believe it's true, but I don't have it confirmed yet. I think if that does happen, that's also interim. So what I think is that probably a night like last night and the way everything looked at the end of the game put in ownership's head that it was time to make some changes.
Well, and, you know, it got really ugly last night. And being at the rink, Elliott, yep, towards the end of the game, it was obvious something would have to give here, especially before the next home game against the Kings. And ultimately, it is going to be, we'll see if it gets confirmed that Jim Benning and Weisbrod are out. But if it is indeed true they are out, you know, who they bring in is going to be really interesting, because it doesn't seem like anybody's really lined up to be, you know, named the GM or the next president within a week or so.
No, I don't. I mean, I could always be surprised, Sat, but I don't think there's anything imminent in terms of a long-term GM or president of hockey operations hire. You know, I was, you know, just yesterday I was going through, and because it was a Saturday show and we were doing the headlines portion, I was, you know, just going through and checking around. All I heard on Vancouver was that they were still doing their due diligence. And I just think it got to a point, especially after last night, where Sat, they just said, we have to do something. And, you know, the way that game ended and the way everybody was on the bench at the end of that game, you know, the crowd. You know, I remember Brian Burke always said in Toronto he was never going to fire Ron Wilson. And then the crowd started going, you know, fire Ron Wilson. And he made the change. And so, you know, I think at times that can be a factor. And I don't think that was the only factor, but it was a factor along with the way the team played last night and the way everybody looked at the end of it. So I don't get the sense, and again, I could be wrong, I don't get the sense any long-term executive hire is coming, but I think they're still doing their due diligence, but they just decided after last night that they had to make some changes.
And the hiring of Boudreau, it really hints that ownership is hoping there's still a chance they can make a push for this year.
I think yes, but you know what I think it is, Dan? If you look at Boudreau's history, when he got to Washington, he rode the star players. He rode them.
Yeah.
In Anaheim, you know, he rode Ryan Getzlaff. In Minnesota, you know, it was a little bit different there because, you know, him and Parise butted heads, because some of the challenges were that he felt Parise reached a point where he couldn't carry that load anymore. But if you're a talented offensive player under Boudreau, you get opportunities. Excuse me. And what's the number one thing that the Canucks are dealing with right now, guys? It's Pettersson. You know, yeah, he can't get going, and it's never one player's fault, but what it does do is it hurts their offense badly. And you guys look, like, plays that he normally makes, he's not making. And we had a conversation last night on the show about Pettersson's ice time and the balance between a coach saying a player doesn't deserve ice time and he's our franchise cornerstone and we have to find a way for him to play. And I think that I would not surprise me if when we hear from Boudreau or from whoever hired him, that's something they talk about. Bruce Boudreau is here to get Pettersson going.
Yeah, I can totally see that, because the names that we had heard earlier, and you reported Claude Julien, that was kind of mentioned out there, that would kind of be in line with what Jim was looking at, because his name was also mentioned in the past too, a more defensive type of presence. If you're bringing Boudreau in, it does also show a bit of a shift as far as the type of coach you're going after, because it's been a while since they had an offensive-minded coach like Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver.
You would remember that off the top of your head more than me, Sat. But, you know, I'll tell you this. Boudreau is a better systems coach at times than he gets credit for. I remember Victor Kozlov, who played in Washington, telling me once that he's the best coach he ever played for in getting through the neutral zone. But there's no question he likes his goals and he likes his offensive players to feel like they have the green light to score. And look, like, who are your two best players? It's probably Hughes and Pettersson, right? And you have to be a good two-way player. But those guys would be probably among Boudreaux's favorites immediately in terms of those guys are going to play and those guys are going to get opportunities.
Elliot Friedman joining us on this emergency coverage here on Sportsnet 650. Canucks making sweeping changes to the organization. Bruce Boudreaux in as head coach, Travis Green out, and we're also hearing GM Jim Benning and AGM John Weisbrod are out. As we're hearing, you know, it looks like it will be a collaborative to run the interim, but there's the big shadow of the Sedins here, Elliot, as well, who were brought in over the summer. I mean, it always felt like that was what they hoped to be a succession plan, but maybe just not ready to take this spot yet.
Well, first of all, Dan, I had to take a shot of cognac there so I could stop my coughing.
The good
secondly,
stuff.
I don't think that the Sedins are looking at that. I've said that before, and I know I've said it before on your show about how I think it could be them to grow into it. And, you know, they can talk for themselves, obviously. But I get people who tell me, you're nuts if you think those guys are anywhere close to doing it full time. So I don't think that's the case. I think at the very least, there's one more full-time hire before we even can really think about it. The guy I'm really curious about is Ryan Johnson. And, you know, like one of the reasons I've been very careful with the whole Benning thing tonight is that I had people who told me that they heard rumors that Gear was going to be the interim guy. I had people who told me there were rumors that Smeal was going to be the interim guy. And I had people told me that you're barking up the wrong tree. So, you know, I obviously have to be very careful. But Ryan Johnson is a guy that for years now, people have told me that he will be a GM in the NHL someday if he wants to be. And, you know, obviously he knows your organization. Obviously he knows your players. You know, obviously he's pretty well respected. I just don't know if it's his time yet or he'd want to do it or the Canucks see him as a contender. But Johnson is the guy who interests me because I know there's a lot of people who think very highly of him.
Well, and it is interesting because you're right about the names that have been, you know, Stan Smeal's name was something that came up a bit earlier, you're right, and obviously Chris Gear.
Yep.
So we'll see ultimately who does get named. The question, though, is, can you kind of get to the end of the season with this, right? And I think what the team is kind of hoping for is to get a bounce back from the coach, that they don't have to look at the deadline as this big seminal moment for an organizational direction. But if you kind of look at the deadline, you're probably viewing what, February, maybe, or mid-January as a time to put in a full-time management team, or can you drag this out until the spring?
I think you can. Look, basically what it says, I think one of the decisions you have to make is, are you doing major surgery in season? Mm-hmm. Like this is where I would defer to you guys. Dan, you and Sat, you guys are there, okay? Do you think they're doing major surgery in season?
Doubtful.
So
the only thing really is Tyler Motte, who's UFA. That's the guy you got to make a decision on, and that's like a middle six player for you.
Well, I mean, yes, but I mean, it depends on who people start calling you about, right?
Yeah.
Like the thing is, if you're doing something major, like to me, like this is what I think happened, and this is purely my opinion. I haven't spoke to anybody who's confirmed it. I think a while ago, you know, they come back from that trip where they go to Vegas and Anaheim and wherever it was, and they have the meeting on that Monday, and they're like, "Oh my God! Like we thought we were going to be in the division race this year, and we're not. What do we do?" And they start saying, "Okay, you know, we're putting everybody on alert, but we have to start thinking about what happens if we want to make a change." And I think at that point they started going through names. And they started saying, okay, person A, yes or no. Person B, yes or no. And I think some of the early names that they had, they kind of looked at them and said, you know what? This is not yet where we want to go or if we go, and we're going to do some more research. And then all of a sudden, Montreal makes a change. and Mark Bergevin is out there, and Scott Mellenby is out there. And you start to look around, you say, okay, what else could happen? Who else could be out there? And I think that's what they wanted to do. I think they wanted to slow this down and say, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. And I know a lot of people out there wanted to see a change, but I really believe in terms of the long-term idea, they were going about it the right way. And so, like, I think that what we have here, guys, is a situation where they felt they just had to do something. It was necessary to do something. So now it becomes, are we doing major surgery in the season? If the answer is yes, then maybe we do have to get someone in here if we decide that person's from outside. But if the answer is no, you can probably sit and wait for a while. And I still think they're going through that. I don't think they've made a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, it just, you know, last night, as we mentioned, it just became abundantly clear that something had to give, right? And it didn't feel fair to Travis or Jim that this was still going on, and knowing that, you know, the search was on for potential replacements as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's on. I mean, yeah. As the Sportsnet promos go, it's on. So, you know, we'll see what happens here.
Well, and, you know, we will see, Elliot. And the final thing I'll leave you with is it out of the ordinary here to hire a coach for this year and next year before you have a president GM put in place? Or does it kind of make sense because of the fact you don't, you know, you are making a change, you may not want to go with the interim guy like Bradshaw?
You know, I think, look, like, number one, they haven't made a real long-term commitment. Like, you know, they've made like basically a two-year commitment. I don't think that's necessarily a problem. I think what this is a nod to is I look at the coach specifically that they've hired. They're looking for a guy who they think can get Pettersson going. Like, that's the number one. When I see this change, that's the number one thing I think. Like, I think Travis Green's going to have another job if he wants one by the summer. I do. And just based on some of the things I've talked around and asked around. I think what this is about for you guys is to get Pettersson going. And that's what Boudreau is known for, getting your superstars going.
Elliot, enjoy the rest of that cognac.
I'm going to. I promise you that.
Thanks for stepping in here, pal. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great night, okay?
You too.
All right.
There is Elliot Friedman with the latest on the Vancouver Canucks. It's fascinating, Sat, because, you know, I guess we expected change, but I don't know if this is how we expected it to happen, right? Where you're bringing in a coach who's not an interim. He's going to be here for at least a little while, signed through the end of next year, Bruce Boudreau, per the reports. But above him and with the front office, it's still search in progress for the future of the franchise.
Yeah, and, you know, it is interesting because Elias Pettersson is the real key to the future of this team in so many different ways, right? So if your focus here to make this move is to get him going, it does make sense, right? Because that's the guy you got to figure out here one way or another, whether he is actually as good as we thought he is or maybe he's not, or whatever you can do to solve it or if you have to move on. This is a real move to see if you can kind of change that in a big, big, meaningful way. But the fact that it took this long to get to this point, did it have to take something like last night? And listen, it's not about a person throwing the jersey on the ice, but we all kind of knew this was coming. Why did it have to take this for this to ultimately go down?
That was my question, to be honest. Because, you know, they'd lost games on home ice sat recently, but they weren't, you know, blowouts. They didn't get ugly at any real point, right? They were close-ish type of games, losing by one goal, whatever it may be, and it just felt like, you know, they use that as a way to be able to kick the can down the road. But as we've been saying for weeks on the People's Show, like, if you've already made the decision, what are you doing? Just go the interim route and relieve the pressure that is just on your team, on your franchise, while everybody just waits for you to make that ultimate decision. And once it came out that they were actively pursuing the future of the franchise or what they may do next, I mean, it just became really difficult to see how this would change or how this wouldn't be the outcome eventually. It was just when, not if.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what it seemed like. And it was very evident that at some point it was going to get ugly at home because there were expectations and it was getting increasingly bad as the season was going on here. And you're falling farther and farther out of the playoff race. And if you're trying to get into the playoffs, for instance, maybe you try to make a move sooner. Somebody texted into the Dunbar Lumber text inbox and says, he's wrong. Number one job is PK. Well, it is if you're trying to save this season. But is this season beyond saving? With Elias Pettersson, you're talking long term. I mean, the PK, that is something you should be able to figure out. Superstar players is not something that's easy to find and figure out. You know what I mean? That's your big long-term piece you do have to find an answer to. So perhaps there's an acknowledgement here too from the organization that this year wasn't really going to get salvaged. It's more about figuring out what you have with the core. And that's what Bruce Boudreau represents. He's a guy that, in theory, could kickstart your guys. And if he does, well, maybe you buy into bringing a lot of this core back again next season and seeing what they can truly do after everything that kind of went wrong this year and perhaps what carried over from last season, right? So to me, the Bruce Boudreau thing, as much as it is about Pettersson, I also think it's about the core. They're invested with this roster, Dan. And you know, like, I don't care who comes in as a GM, unless you decide to make a mini rebuild or be willing to move off JT and Bo and do something drastic, there isn't a lot you can do, right? And I'm not sure that appetite exists. So I think the rest of this season is about determining how much of this core can we lean into again for next season. And that's why you bring in a guy like Bruce Boudreau.
The move we know of so far. Well, we know that potentially more is coming down as well. Official word not yet from the team on that. But as we just spoke about with Elliot Satt, doesn't feel like there is a hurry to hire a new GM, at least on a permanent basis, or president of hockey ops, whatever that role may be that they are looking for. But you know, it's clear that this organization knows change was needed. And maybe, you know, I guess the cliche term is culture change was needed from the top down, and that's why there is likely to be an extensive search for whomever is next to carry the Canucks forward.
Well, it is a big decision. Let's be honest, right? Yep. Like, if you are handing over the keys to somebody else for, you know, the better part of a decade, because that's kind of what we saw, right? I mean, Gillis didn't last as long as Benning, despite having success, and Benning lasted, you know, about seven and a bit, and we'll see ultimately what his future is with the team. It doesn't look like he is coming back, but we'll see ultimately what that stands at. But you're going to make a decision that's pretty impactful for a long period of time. And there were a lot of discussions that happened between Mike Gillis and ownership before they made the Mike Gillis hire. And they had him lined up before they fired Dave Nonis, made that move ultimately, right? So this is a team that really wants to be sure on the guy they bring in for whatever, you know, for the criteria that they deem. And whatever that criteria is this time around could be a bit different from what it's been in the past. If you're looking for something more comprehensive, right, you are looking to perhaps take a step forward and doing something better and bigger than you have in the past, at least from a modern front office standpoint. Not that you have to have the biggest, department in the world or anything, but if you are trying to move into the future, modernize it, then there are more boxes you have to check before making a hire. So it does make it more complicated to find that person. So I understand it's not going to be an easy thing to do, especially with the MO of this organization when it comes to hiring new executives. But the thing is, this is why you have to have some contingencies built up heading into a season, especially when you've had a guy in place for such a long time. You know that things could have gone sideways this season, right? So there is a lack of preparedness for something like this. But now that you're here, you do have to take your time to make sure you get the right person in charge. But you know, I think people want to change, and they finally got the change they wanted. So for the time being, I think the majority of the fan base is pretty satisfied.
It's emergency coverage here on Sportsnet 650. The Canucks making sweeping changes across the organization. Irfan Gafar, first to report, GM Jim Benning and AGM John Weisbrod out with the Vancouver Canucks. It's Ian McIntyre reporting that whatever it may be who ends up interim GM, it will be a collaborative, as he put it, with Chris Gear, Ryan Johnson, the Sedins, Stan Smeal. Is that probably how this works out from a front office perspective, Sat?
So my understanding is the same. I heard all the same things, that change has been made, that Jim Benning is out, and I haven't heard confirmation one way or another on who's going to be the interim person. But one thing that is clear, and I think IMAC nails it, is that you hear a lot of names, because it's not going to be only one person doing it, because they don't have an individual that is ready to go as the next GM, right? They don't have that guy in their organization. So you've heard Stan Smeal's name come up. You've heard Chris Gear's name come up. You've heard Ryan Johnson's name come up. And you have the Sedins there as well, who've been working with the front office to apprentice and learn the industry. So they're there. They've been a big part of a lot of the decision-making process and conversations throughout this offseason. So they're going to be there when you are talking about potential moves and what's out there for you and evaluating how the team is trending. So they're going to be leaned on in that way. So whoever ultimately gets the interim tag, I do agree with what Ian said. It's going to be a collaborative effort here. And you do have enough people that you can get by the day by day. Now, do you have the right people to put in place a vision and a philosophy and execute that, say 2 or 3 year vision and move forward on that? Yeah, that's up for debate. But as far as caretaking this thing to the end of the season potentially, or at least to the deadline and for the next couple of months maybe, yeah, you have enough people in place if they work collaboratively, which I do believe they can. Now, we can talk a lot about the failures of Jim and stuff like that, but it's not like they don't have people in this organization that don't know what they're doing, and they do have those people. So perhaps some of those people getting bigger roles, we'll see what they can do with it for the next few months.
So it is a day of change, a change many of you had been waiting for a long time. We want to hear from you on Sportsnet 650, the home of the Canucks. 604-280-0650. Travis Green out, Benning out, Weisbrod out. New days ahead for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll hear from you next on emergency coverage with Sportsnet 650.